integrative medicine practitioner and music therapist at Abbott Northwestern Hospital, also here in Minneapolis. She works on all the medical units, including surgery, and she utilizes other integrative medicine modalities in her music therapy practice. And they are joined by Jerry Brown, who is the owner and founder of Music Makers Kits Incorporated, which is a leading manufacturer of acoustic instruments and musical kits in Stillwater, Minnesota. He started his business in 1978 with the goal of helping hobbyists to make high-quality music instruments right at home using common woodworking hand tools. So over the years, Jerry and his team have designed a number of musical instruments, some of which are completely new ideas, so this should be fun. And last but certainly not least is Matt Edwards, is the general manager of Music Makers and one of the key instrument designers in the staff. He has a music degree from University of Minnesota at Morris, and he spearheaded the design of the Reverie Harp, which is why we're out here in this workshop. So let's give a hand for these four wonderful presenters.
Good morning. I'm so glad you're all here. I think you're all going to be glad you're here. And you're going to love Matt and Jerry. I'm just going to say that. You're going to love them. As you get to know them, you're going to love them. And you can see there's a lot of instruments here. We are going to have a hands-on time. And we're going to try to get to that as fast as we can so that you get to just experience and touch all the instruments and test them out. But what I want to just give you a little lay of the land. Jerry's going to give you a little history about the Reverie Harp. Kim and I are going to talk about our experiences clinically with the Reverie Harp. And then we're going to do some hands-on stuff. So once we move into the hands-on stuff, we want to be a little less formal and not so much in our lined rows. At that point, we're probably going to want to move the chairs into kind of semicircle fashion because we're going to be just doing some jamming together. We're going to explore different combinations of instruments to use with the Reverie Harp, different, just lots of different things we can do with that. So we're going to get to that really quickly, as fast as we can, but we want to give you a little introduction into it. So I'm going to toss it over to Jerry.
Hello, he's Matt.
He's Jerry.
And we're here to kind of give you a little history about the Reverie Harp, how it came to be. I'll start by saying that I'm going to start by pointing out my lovely wife in the back, my better half, Sharon. She and I started this business back in 1978 with probably not enough fear and trepidation. And so anyway, we're enjoying the ride, but along the way, we got introduced to some people who were doing music therapy. And one of the persons was quite fascinating. He is an Australian. About 15 years ago, he built one of our harp kits, a floor model harp, to use for bedside ministry. And he got so good at it and so entrenched in the hospitals and so forth in his area in Australia, they became quite renowned. And in the fall of 2006, that's 2.5 years ago, he was invited to Mayo Clinic to present his work to the International Conference on Spirituality and Healing. And he was overwhelmed with the response to what he was doing with the harp. Because he knew about us, and we've been developing a friendship over the years, and he was staying for a few extra days in Minnesota, he came to stay with us in Stillwater, and came to our shop and so forth. And one of the things he mentioned was, as a music practitioner, he says, there's one thing that I really need, one thing that I'm missing, and that is, when I go into a hospital room or something, I bring my music, and I play it, and it's good. But the patient doesn't get to participate in any way. It's a passive sort of thing. And I would really like to have something that the patient can engage in, especially somebody who's, higher functioning. Engage in musically, but of course it can't require any skill. And then he said, I would really like one of the problems is when I leave the room, the music leaves with me. And he said, I would really like something that I could put with the patient and let them keep for a little while and play when I go off to the next room. And then I can come back and pick it up later. And so he described some qualities that he wanted. And I'm going to let Matt tell you, because he's the one who jumped all over this idea and came up with a plan. So you describe how it came about.
Sure. So Peter, you know, he's amazingly gifted, and we've seen him work with other people and with patients and with us as well. And, you know, I've always felt that Peter could walk into a room with a pair of socks and could alleviate suffering. Just that talented. But so when he recognized this need, you know, we knew that he was onto something. So like Jerry said, he really wanted something that would engage the patient and kind of bring them into the moment, so to speak, and make them active and kind of take them out of their story and their suffering and be right there. And music has such a power to do that. But it's, as Peter would say, if he comes in with a harp, you know, you can't take one of these and set it in bed with somebody, okay? It's just not going to work. Even small lap harps that are only this big can be very awkward in a bed. If you've tried that, you would know. And if you bring in a guitar, a patient's often thinking already, I can't play guitar. They're engaged in some story from the past about somebody else that played guitar. So Peter wanted something that was new. He wanted something that was appealing visually as well, something that people would see and be immediately attracted to. Furthermore, he wanted something that was round, he said. Round and in soft corners. And you know, he just wanted it, you know, pleasing to look at, inviting to hold. So with those kind of ideas in mind, I started sketching some ideas. And, the first couple things, one of them looked like, you know, like kind of a big goldfish, you know, those little snap crackers. And it didn't have much sound. It didn't have enough strings. So back to the drawing board, tried some other designs. And I was trying to come up with curves that would kind of fit into somebody's body. And finally, it just, I thought, well, I'm just going to keep this real simple and just kind of, all of a sudden, here's this thing that looks like a big egg, you know, and it just looked right. And everybody that we showed it to thought, yeah, I like that. It looks nice. So one of the features of this design is that it puts the longest or the lowest notes in the middle of the instrument. And that was kind of a little thinking that had to happen outside the box for us, because typically you have low up to high on most instruments. So having the lowest strings in the center, you know, it kind of put up a little block, and then we just said, well, it's okay. We're just going to let it be what it wants to be. And it's been one of the kind of the neat things about that is we give this to, there's a chaplain that's used this, and she discovered that it just makes it so perfect to share between two people. If you set it on two laps, you both have full access to the whole range of the instrument. So it just lends itself to sharing with other people in that regard. But I've kind of got a little bit off track with that. Anyway, Peter's, he also wanted it to be playable by anybody. No skill required. And so that's where we got into the tunings of this. And essentially we ended up with what is a pentatonic scale or five-note scale, so that you can strum all the notes at one time and it sounds nice. You can strum any two, any three notes. It just doesn't matter what you do with this instrument. It's going to sound good. So beyond the visual and the sensation of the sound, he wanted it to be something that you could feel and kind of cradle against your chest and let the vibrations of the instrument itself kind of penetrate the physical body and bring, you know, some calm and peace in that regard, and that anybody could do. And Peter put this into his practice right away. And immediately had results and came back with amazing stories. I mean, pictures of a patient that was kind of in bed, and just you could see by the look in his eyes that he was not there. And after a couple minutes with this harp, he had another picture, and you could see a twinkle in his eyes, a spark of life as he became engaged with another human being and with life in the present moment. I mean, it was just really miraculous what he's done. And then once we had this design more or less finalized, as it is like this, we kind of turned it loose in the music therapy community with Annie and Kim and let them try it out in their practice and just not really knowing what to expect. And so now we'll turn it over to them now that the history is behind us and they can kind of share their experience. It's been pretty amazing.
Now, I have to say, I remember the day Jerry called me and said, "Hi, I'm Jerry, and I'm from Music Makers, and I have an instrument I'd like to send you to try out. Just want you to try it out." And I'm like, "Are you kidding me? You're like the music therapist's dream. You send me an instrument and I get to play with it? How could you say no to that?" And I remember, I waited and waited and waited, and it arrived within just a few days. And I remember when it arrived, and I have two little girls, they were probably 2 and 4 at the time, and they wanted to play immediately. And we were sitting, I mean, literally, I got it from the doorway, brought it in, we were right in the front room of our house, and they just started playing immediately. And it was just amazing how the sound instantaneously from these two little girls, they were just playing and they were mesmerized, absolutely mesmerized. And I thought, this is going to be a good time. This is going to be a good time. So I immediately took it to the Children's Hospital when I worked there and began using it. And one of the first individuals that I used it with was a little 9-month-old. And Daniel was his name. And he loved music. And I would put this in his crib. And he liked to put his feet on the back of it. So he would sit up and he'd put his feet right on the base of it, and he loved to feel the vibrations. And then he would touch the back with his hands, and he'd touch it, and then he'd look at me and smile. And he just loved feeling it, just feeling how it felt. And then after, he'd felt it for a while, I would turn it around, and then he would start to just touch the strings. And what's really wonderful is you can just hear. That sound itself is soothing. And he could just kind of lull himself in the playing. And then when he got too tired, we could turn it back around. And he could just put his, if he was really tired, he could lay back down and then just put his feet on the bass and get that little sound massage in his feet. And then he could just be lulled to sleep. And as I continued to work with it, I would then go into a parent's room, or into a patient's room, and Kim, can I?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to play the parent. I know that's going to be a really hard role to play.
Yeah.
What was wonderful is when you have parents who have an infant or toddler that's hospitalized, that is a very challenging time for parents, and they often feel really disempowered in what they can do for their kids. So when I can walk into a room and say, introduce the Reverie Harp to them, and then just strum it in whatever way you want to. And you're going to hear some ocean waves. Can you hear them in the back? Not the tsunami, but just the waves. So now a parent who felt that there wasn't that much of anything that they could do is playing for their child. And we'll see how well attuned I am with this, but they working to relax their child, but in the process of the parent playing,
there allowing themselves to relax, but feeling as if they're doing something. And I can even, then if I need to, I can leave this with them for a while. They can continue to play for their child, even without me there. And sometimes I like to be able to do that so that they can begin to see, oh, I can do this even without her there. And we can empower the parents at a really challenging time. And that is a wonderful gift to be able to give the parent, is to create something live. They're feeling the vibration. They're playing something for their child. As their stress level is decreasing, they're also working to relax their child. And we know that kids are very responsive to the stress in the environment. So as we help the child relax, the parent relax, we're helping the child relax as well. One of the other areas that I've used this is with the eating disorder patients that I work with. And this population has just tremendous anxiety. And one of the things that I find is because of that, the anxiety disorders and the high levels of anxiety, they need something active for relaxation. That doing something passive can sometimes be anxiety producing in and of itself. And we work on all kinds of relaxation, but sometimes they need something active. So now, can you switch hats and be patient with an eating disorder? So I can hand this over very quickly. And if I'm in a group, I can pull several instruments in. If I'm just working one-on-one, then I can do this on a one-on-one basis. So, and you just come in with me. Come to this, they aren't having to learn a new skill, which is going to produce some anxiety. They acclimate to it very quickly. They're feeling vibrations. They're doing something for themselves, which is incredibly empowering, finding ways for them to manage their anxiety so that it doesn't always require me being there every moment. I can't be there every moment when they're stressed. And we don't want to be there every moment when they're stressed. We ultimately need to empower them in their own lives to take care of themselves. This is a wonderful way to give them a way of doing that, an active way to relax. So I'm going to hand it over to Kim. Okay. Oh, you probably want that. So if you just go right in.
Let me go through a few of the clinical applications I use in a hospital setting. So with rehab patients who may be new quads or paras or are stroke patients and are trying to regain some function in their hands or their arms. The nice thing about this is it's a broad base, you know, it's wide. So if someone has limited fine motor skills, you can, you have a CD case or something?
Ooh.
Well, you could take something like a CD case.
You want to use this?
You know, something big that they can even, in some OTs, in some cases I've worked with, have special braces that they put their hands on. And in one case, this young man I worked with was, I spoke about him in our institute, was tetraplegic. So he had upper shoulder and elbow movement, no fine motor skills. So everything, he had special braces for his hands and straps to hold his fork and spoon, that sort of thing. So we could strap a CD case in that worked better than the giant picks that I had because it was thicker. And he could start making movements like this across the strings. And he had been a guitarist before his accident. So our goal was to get to the guitar, but the guitar's little six strings on the guitar were too fine for us to start with. We had to start with a bigger surface. And after about a week of working on the harp, we were able to move to the guitar open-tuned, flat in his lap. And he had enough skill then to move to the six strings and strum. So this was a great way to start with the more gross motor, and then we could move into the finer motor skills on the fewer strings. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But this, it's for him who thought, this young man, 26, who thought his life playing guitar was over, hearing himself play music immediately was... to be present at that moment was just a gift, because it was like, oh my gosh, if I can do this, and then, you know, if I can do that, and it's just, he was a very positive guy anyway, but this was just wonderful, because you hear this beautiful sound, it's very immediate, so that really helped spur him on to keep working, and by the time he left the hospital, he was playing the guitar. I mean, we worked out a lot of adaptive things, but he was playing the guitar. But it all started with this. You'll see this when you get one in your hand, which we're going to do as quickly as we can here. The first thing I would encourage you to do when you get one in your hand is hold it against you and strum it so you can feel the vibration of it. That's one of the loveliest things about this, is that you can feel the vibration. Now, I've had people say they're concerned working with children who might be hyper, that the vibrations actually would be too overstimulating. Except our school district, I found out, owns one at the elementary school, and they put it in the hands of the autistic children that are being mainstreamed in the school who are getting out of control. They sit them down with a para and hand them this. And while the teacher takes the classes doing other things, and the kid will just start soothing themselves with it. And holding it in their lap, and they get gentler and gentler and calmer and calmer. And I have not seen that. I'm just passing that on from what the kindergarten teacher told me from that school, that she was so impressed with this instrument. I've taken this quite a few times up to work with our high-risk pregnancy patients who are sometimes in the hospital for 3-4 months before they can deliver, because they just can't go home because the risk of miscarrying is so high. So they are basically feeling fine and stuck in bed, which, you know, it's one thing when you have the flu and feel awful, you don't mind being in bed because you want to pull the covers up and sleep. But when you're feeling good and walking around and someone says, you have to get off your feet now for 3.5 months, that's a really hard place to be. You have all this energy, you feel good, and you can't move around, you can't do things, and you feel like you're crawling out of your skin. So one of the nice things about this is it gives somebody something to do, you know, so it's a different way to pass their time. You can only watch those daytime TV things for so long before you're ready to throw something through the screen. And, you know, they have CD players in all the rooms, and they're able to listen to music, but again, 3 months, day after day after day. So just to have a break in that routine was really helpful, and this was nice. And you know what I found? Every mom I put this in the hands of put it right up against them and felt like they were playing to their baby, because they could feel the vibration of it right through their womb. And they just felt like they were sending their babies this beautiful music. And it was a gift to give to those babies. And for some moms who, you know, were high risk enough that it was, you know, scary at the beginning because not knowing if they were going to follow the pregnancy through, that bonding didn't want that to happen yet, because they may not see this baby. But the longer they were there and the longer the pregnancy went, then the more they wanted to actually start singing to their babies and doing things for their babies and talking to their babies, and then playing the music was just this lovely gift. I had one woman in particular who was, it was the night before her C-section. She'd been there for 2.5 months, and she was so excited she was going to see her baby the next day. And she just sat there and just played like this over and over. And this look on her face of just, she said, "I'm singing my baby home." That she was just sending this music to her baby as the welcome into this world. That was just a lovely, lovely thing. Working with patients on just different medical units, and what I find is sitting across from them, so doing the double thing is kind of nice. It was actually a young woman with Down syndrome who had to come in for open heart surgery. So she was in our coronary intensive care, and loved watching DVDs and, you know, the group home brought in all her favorites. But she loved music and loved to sing. So I bring this, and she was very systematic, which I kind of was doing mm-hmm. when I was being your patient, because mm-hmm. I think sometimes if you get somebody who's very structured, mm-hmm. They'll do this. And they'll play each individual string. It's really, and it's beautiful, and it's just fine. There's no right or wrong way to play this. But it's interesting watching how people play it when you put it in their hands. And then if it changes. So if they're very systematic when they start, do they loosen up with that, or does it stay? And at what point you might encourage them to just do that instead of each individual string? And for her, she liked to sit there and go back and forth between like four or five strings and then back up. And what was nice about that is we could create a song because it was the same notes over and over. And her favorite DVD she was watching all the time, oh, it was a TV show from the 70s or 80s, Full House. Mm-hmm. And so she could talk about Full House, those characters. She knew every one. She knew every episode. And I don't remember any of their names. But, that's who we'd sing about. You know? I like Full House. Those are my friends. I like Joey or something. It's like, Joey's my favorite today. And, you know, we just sort of incorporated it. And then the nurses would come in, and we'd sing about the nurses who just walked in and how they were fooling with the machinery and what they were doing. And, you know, it was just, it lends itself very easy to make up a free verse song and then incorporating her name in it as much as I could. So she heard her name. And she just loved that. She just loved to sit there and play those five notes up and down. And I'd say, you know, it's a little lower here in the middle if you'd like. And so, you know, she'd play those low ones. And then back up to the top. And that was fine, you know, because really there was no right or wrong. I just let her do it. But it was really fun. And then I could do a contrapuntal thing down on this end with her sometimes. And we could just sit and play. She could literally do this for 30 minutes at a time without a break. And it was 30 minutes waiting for pain meds that she didn't just lay there thinking about the fact that she was hurting and start moaning. Mm-hmm. So I used to try and time my visits when I knew it was sort of a tough time of the day for her. That's some examples. Any questions about, yeah?
How does it stand up to cleaning with like catheters and things like that? And can you bring it into isolation?
That was one of my questions when they put it in my hands, was can I clean it? I have to clean it between patients. And so I think you took alcohol and tested it on the wood and it was fine. I have cleaned mine so many times and there's no breakdown in the finish. The strings,
the strings are the problem. Something like that.
Like
you use like the
Cavi
wipes.
I use these.
Like
the hospital has these big things that are antibacterial wipes.
Yeah.
They look like the,
like baby wipes.
Yeah, but they're in a big container. Mm-hmm. And they're pretty heavy duty. But my harp has stood up to that just fine.
Mine is too.
As has my guitar. Yeah, because I have the wipes on my guitar too. So yes, that's an excellent question. It, you can wipe this thing down and it's fine.
Good selling point.
Yes.
You use other tunings once in a while?
You can use other tunings, and when they...
How would you use those?
Well, I may let you talk about that, but when you get this, it comes with an insert. Do you have one?
I've got one.
So it shows you, like, if you don't know what the notes are, you put the insert in, and it goes, like, C, G, C, E, C, D, you know? So then you...
So do you ever use those other tunings, though?
Right. I don't, because I happen to like this one.
Okay.
Because I don't have to really fool around with this tuning, and it's accessible. I can play, and I'll do this when we get into jamming, but if you're playing guitar or a pitched instrument, for instance, keyboard or guitar, I'll just tell you, C major 7th, D minor 7th, E minor 7th chords fit into this tuning perfectly, so you can play those chords in any kind of rhythm or background that you want to accompany this, and so anything will work. So I kind of like that. It would work on a C major scale as well. So you know, it would certainly be whatever your preference is. But I like the pentatonic tuning, so I just leave mine there. But this is what the thing looks like to help you know what string to tune. And there are alternative tunings. So there's two different tunings on this one right now.
Yeah.
So you can just choose.
You can just cut it right out on the curve there, and it'll slide right up against the tuning pins here, so you can see exactly.
How often do you need to tune it?
Well, I have the first generation one. So mine does not hold tune well, and I have to tune it daily. But these hold tune, I think, much longer. Do you know how often do you have to tune it?
Well,
you have a first generation one, too?
I have a newer one, and I don't have to tune it very often.
Right.
I use it a whole lot, but I don't have to tune it very often.
Yeah.
Every two or three days, probably. But you asked about different tunings. I brought one that has a different tuning. And what is neat about the instrument having the long strings in the middle is that you can tune one side differently from the other.
They're good.
So if you want a more musical, you know, a lot of people, you know, a lot of musicians wonder what in the world they can do with just one chord. And so this is helpful because we have a C major pentatonic here. And then on the other side it's a D minor 7. Well, a D minor 7, if you're musical, you know it's kind of like an F. It's also kind of like a G7. And so you can fudge quite nicely. No doubt. In the valley. Valley so low, head over, hear the wind blow. And so you can substitute for about four or five chords here, C, A minor, F, G7, with those two complex chords. This is then a different instrument then. You don't put this in the bed for somebody to just self-soothe necessarily. It's more of an instrument that you play, and you have to know which side you're going to play on, what you're doing, and sing to it or something like that. But it's the same exact instrument. You just retune about five or six strings on one side. So we provide, we have those tunings for you if you want them.
There's something I thought of that I wanted to just mention. Especially when I'm doing groups, if I'm doing relaxation, and one of the things that I like to do is to ask a group, what type of relaxation do you need? I like to empower them to be making decisions for themselves, self-assessing, what do they need? And sometimes I may have part of the group that says, today I'd really like to do or need something passive, and then I may have somebody else in the group that says, oh, I'd like to do something active. So the Reverie Harp allows me to do both in one session, which I like to be able to do. The other thing that it allows me to do is if we're doing something passive, but then somebody is really having a difficult time relaxing, I can give them this instrument. And then they can transition into something active to help them relax. So that it's very seamless, and it allows me to be very flexible within the session and meet some immediate needs, where I can't just hand somebody my guitar or my Native American flute necessarily. I can hand them this, I can just hand it to them. I don't even have to say anything. I can just hand it to them, they can begin to play. So it's not disrupting the group at all. And I like having that kind of flexibility to meet their needs within the moment. So it works so very well within groups as well. So I just wanted to share that. Now, we're ready to jam.
Does the string break the string? Does that happen, or where do you get
it? It happens when you're tuning, usually, and you're turning one pin and plucking a different string.
Are you speaking from experience, Jerry?
And so it does happen, but they are just guitar strings. Okay. Oh. And so you can find them anywhere.
Like they've been cued or something.
What also, how often then would you recommend restringing it?
Restringing?
Once a year? Or?
Well, if the strings start to really get pitted or rusty or something like that, then certainly you want to. But a lot of people don't replace them until they break. I mean, we've only been making these things for 2.5 years, so we don't know how long people leave them on there. But, most people replace their guitar strings once a year, or maybe once every 2 years. I would do the same. Yes?
Is it good to store it with like a humidifier or something to prevent the back from cracking, or is it?
Yeah, valid? Great question. We live in Minnesota. It's the harshest climate in the country for musical instruments. And we don't humidify our shop. We don't expect you to humidify your home. We make these things so that they're the driest when we put them together. We have had some that we have built in the summer one first year that were not as dry as they should have been. And then in the winter they cracked. So we had to replace a few. But we are better at that now. And we dry these things really well so that they're not going to shrink any further and cause any trouble. I could mention just about the tuning. Annie said she has a first generation one. You could see some little minor differences between hers and the current ones. We have little brass eyelets now at the tail end here that prevent the strings from digging into the wood. Well, that's one way if an instrument goes out of tune, is when the string starts to press into the wood. Another thing at the very end here where these little ball, the guitar ball ends are, we've added a washer there so that the ball can't be drawn into the wood. And so all those things help stabilize the instrument. Little minor things, but they make quite a big difference. And we're also using a different wood now on the top. This is a mahogany, which we think is more stable than the earlier ones. Yours is redwood. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Okay, I wanted to mention one other thing. If you're ever in need of a pick, a dollar bill is a great pick. You don't have to have a 20. You just fold it into a little thing, and it works great for a lot of different instruments, guitar and so forth. But you can always have a pick handy if you have
a dollar.
Yeah, just go have a dollar left here.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, when we hand out the instruments, I'd like you to try holding it against your body like this and in your forearms. Then you cross your hands somehow. And just use one finger of each string. Just give that a try for a few minutes. You can use thumbs or fingers. And whatever way to cross your fingers works best. We often teach people to play like that because it's so simple. Just one finger on each hand and just randomly plucking. And then what I'd like to do is have you get together with somebody with another instrument and try some different things. Now, what we've done with the harps here, for example, we brought a bunch of, this is a cardboard harp, and we brought these, and they're tuned to the same pentatonic scale. So you don't have to know how to play the harp either. Anything you do on this is going to be fine. If you play harp and you want it to be a regular diatonic harp, then flip down the B strings and flip up the F, and now you've got a do re mi scale. So a harp is an easy thing to change from diatonic to pentatonic, just by the flip of a couple of levers. And so I brought these so that we could try doing duets together. You can play together. And I brought a big one too. And then we have guitars here. And I'd really like to show some samples of, you mentioned some chords mm-hmm. that you use. I'd love to hear your combinations.
And we also have drums and rhythm instruments. So yeah. I mean, everybody can have an instrument, but we'll need to just make, I want to make sure everybody has a chance to play the rubbery harp. So we'll just, you know, stop you once in a while and say, okay, trade.
Yeah.
And just trade off with somebody who has a drum.
Yeah, we have a dozen of them here.
Oh.
How'd you get the name, rubbery?
Oh, that was this Peter Roberts in Australia suggested that. And here's another instrument that's tuned to the same key, C. So you could play along with that. I have some that are tuned diatonically also.
I have another question. I do some large group things sometimes too. Have you ever had anyone put a transducer or pickup in the
game? Oh, yeah, we've done that.
Did you do that?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do that.
Taking that a step further from
yes.
the, I'm thinking as a guitarist, like Christian here.
Yeah.
What's the opportunity for putting strap buttons on this? So when you are moving around
yeah.
with a
yeah.
set of strap locks, you've got it, and you can go hands-free
mm-hmm.
to work with your client for a minute and then still come back and not have to find a place to set it down, pick it back up. Mm-hmm. How are they built, I guess, at the points where I would be thinking,
yeah.
you know, 1 o'clock, 7 o'clock for putting in mm-hmm.
exactly.
strap buttons?
Exactly, and it's very solid wood all the way around, so you can easily do that. We've done that in the past. We haven't had much call for it, so we haven't. I didn't bring any straps along, but it can easily be done. Yes, question.
Could you reiterate those chords you used and how they go with different?
Well, let's listen to them, and you tell us.
All right. You want to grab a guitar for
mm-hmm.
me? You know, it was C major 7,
yeah.
C minor 7, yeah. E minor 7. And those are just good for doing improv,
yeah.
you know, when you're backing it up. But then you can control rhythm. Well, I just wanted to show you one thing I wanted to mention about this. Sometimes I play for patients who are trying to sleep and rest and are having a hard time relaxing. And, you know, I use the Native American flute, I can use my guitar, but I often, and everyone has their own thing. I'm just going to share what I tend to do. I like to sometimes start in the middle. It's a little different than mine. So I'll start with a... And I just... being an integrative medicine practitioner, there's a term we often use, grounding, when we're trying to get somebody who's in pain, and sometimes we refer to them as sort of almost being out of their body. They're up here, and they're anxious and frantic. So pulling them energetically back down into their body and grounding them. And then, you know, the way I would combine that is that I'm also a Reiki master, so I'll often do a Reiki treatment and finish it with using the guitar to continue the grounding. So
I tend to like to start there with that bass note and just sort of move up and then go back and just keep repeating that. And then after a while, I may just sort of, if they're falling off to sleep, just do some background like that. So, I mean, you can play with it and do your own thing. Someone in the group of four had said, would you rather start at the top and move down? And I think it's just more a preference thing. There's something about starting with the bass for me and moving up that just sort of keeps reminding us where we are. Sort of like that ground bass, you know. The C major 7th, do you all know how to play one? It's just a C, you just lift your index finger. Right? If you come here to C. And then you just bring it. So you're adding the B. And then D minor 7th. But you can, you know, just go back and forth or stay on it as long as you want. But it fits in with the pentatonic scale very effectively, or even a C major scale. So, you know, with kids with ORF instruments, I've often used those chords while they fool around on a glockenspiel or something. Okay. All right, so let's see how to do these chairs to make this as efficient as
possible. What I could do is make a couple large semicircles.
I just want to clarify that last thing about chords. I thought you said C major 7 or E minor 7.
You can add an E minor 7 on a guitar. I was talking about guitar chords.
Right.
So you could do a C major 7 to a D minor 7 to an E minor 7.
But the scale is what? It's like a what are the notes?
On that reverie harp?
On the reverie harp?
Yeah.
It's a C pentatonic scale. So C, D, E, G, and A.
Yeah.
Right.
So you don't have it.
The D minor 7 kind of cuts across there.
Right. But you can lead through a progression, and the background music doesn't have to change. It's doable.
Thank you.